A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host for this journey into issues facing the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues these organizations are facing. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll hear about this year's Essentially Ellington High School Jazz Band Competition and Festival. Newark Academy's Chameleon Swing Band won honorable mention, and I'll speak with band director Julius Tolentino and two of the students in the ensemble. We'll also hear more about the festival from Todd Stoll, Jazz at Lincoln Center's Vice President of Education. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. With Westminster Choir College's future still in limbo, its dean will be taking a new position at Ohio University beginning this summer. In an announcement, Ohio University said that Matthew Schaftel will become dean of its College of Fine Arts as of July 15th. Schaftel has served as dean of Rider University's Westminster College of the Arts, which includes the renowned Choir College, since July 2015, when he succeeded Robert Annis. Under his guidance, Westminster fostered strong community partnership programs, such as participating in the Kennedy Center's Any Given Child project in Trenton. In March, Rider University announced that it planned to sell Westminster to another institution to strengthen its own financial situation. Rider initially considered the plan to shut the Princeton-based campus and move its music programs to its main campus in Lawrenceville, which generated strong opposition from Westminster alumni. Rider and Westminster had no comment on Schaftel's departure or plans for a successor. A major supporter of new music in the Philadelphia area has announced plans to step down at the end of next season. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported that Network for New Music co-founder and artistic director Linda Reichert plans to step aside after 33 years with the organization that has been a proponent of new works and composers. According to the Inquirer, she is set to become first vice president and then president of the Musical Fund Society of Philadelphia. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. This past weekend brought together young musicians from top jazz ensembles from 15 schools across the U.S. for the annual Essentially Ellington High School Jazz Band Competition and Festival at Jazz at Lincoln Center. Along with a youth orchestra from Cuba, the young musicians had the chance to perform, compete, and soak up the jazz atmosphere at the Frederick P. Rose Hall. The four-day event kicked off with a New Orleans-style second-line parade from Columbus Circle to Lincoln Center, with Jazz at Lincoln Center managing and artistic director Wynton Marsalis on bass drum. That was followed by juried performances by each of the bands, jam sessions, and workshops, and also feature the performance by the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra. This year's top three honors went to the ensembles of Tucson Jazz Institute, the Denver School of the Arts, and the Dillard Center for the Arts from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The Chameleon Big Band of Newark Academy, a private school in Livingston, New Jersey, received honorable mention, along with awards for outstanding rhythm and reed sections, and several honors for individual performers. You just heard an excerpt from their festival performance of Duke Ellington's Jack the Bear. Julius Tolentino is Newark Academy's jazz director, and I spoke with him about the band's experience. He was joined by Alan Zhu, a junior who received an award for outstanding tenor saxophone, and freshman Teddy McGraw, who was recognized for outstanding drums.
The atmosphere, essentially, Ellington, is always electric. It's very exciting. You know, some of the top bands in the whole nation are all there celebrating the music of Ellington, and it's just really exciting because they're all high school bands, so there's a lot of energy. And this year is particularly exciting just because we have kids that have been programmed for a long time. Some of them have been to Essentially Ellington, but half the band hasn't, so it was like all new to them, and you know, they roll out the red carpet with a cheer tunnel, and Wynton Marsalis playing with the Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra at the very beginning. It's really exciting way to begin in the festival.
For us as students and like participants in the festival, it was just an amazing experience because we had 15 of the top bands in the country, like more than 20 people per band. So we had like 300 of the most dedicated high schoolers to jazz all gathered in one space. And a lot of times just during our free time, we would have jam sessions together, and just being around all these high schoolers who were just as interested in jazz as we were, it was like really finding a great community to be a part of, you know, really opened my eyes up to that, you know, there's other high schoolers around who love jazz just as much as I do. It was really exciting.
The experience was great. It was really fun to be around people who were there for like the same cause, and they all wanted the same thing, and you could really connect with people on that same level. It was really great to be able to interact with different people. But I think also as a band, like at New Academy's Chameleon Band, we also got a lot closer from the experience, which I think I'll cherish those memories because it was just a great experience that I'll never really forget.
In the end, Newark Academy walked away with honorable mention. How did it feel to come away with honorable mention after that?
For our group, it was really special because we've been there once in 2012 and once in 2015. And, you know, the band did great at those times. Like I said, we have a lot of juniors in the band this year, and it's particularly a strong year. So for us for our small community, our small school to be, you know, an honorable mention fourth place was really exciting, especially to hear the top three bands. They were all arts high schools or like all-star bands. So we were like the first regular band, the next lot. So which is pretty, very, very exciting. And we took a lot of soloist awards, I think 8 in total and 2 section awards. So we're still, I think, on cloud 9 from the experience.
Well, I did see some of the individual and section awards, both Teddy and Alan were among those. How did that feel, and what did you each take away from that?
It was a really great honor and really great privilege to be able to win a soloist award, and it really felt honored, you know, going on stage with Wynton and taking a picture with him, shaking his hand, and everything, and winning section awards too. As a sax section, we came away feeling really proud, and you know, like our hard work, hours of just shedding like the same solos, same solis, and it really, really came together. So we were really excited by that and grateful for it.
The whole rhythm section also got the award, and I kind of felt like as a group, as a rhythm section, we had really lined up on that stage like we had never had before. And I also got the Outstanding Drummer Award, which is really exciting to receive from Wynton Marsalis. And I think without that kind of sense of community from the rhythm section and that the bond that we share, I don't think that would really be possible.
So, Julius, how do you prepare for the festival, and how then does that affect your overall curriculum and your overall musical plan for the entire school year?
It's a lot of research, studying all the different recordings that Ellington or Jazz Lincoln Center has made of the tunes that we're trying to play. Also, you know, selecting the tunes, kind of seeing what we have, what our strengths are with each group. This year I knew we had, you know, a great clarinetist and a wonderful saxophone section, a strong rhythm section, and a strong trombone soloist. So we found tunes that kind of work to our strengths. You know, in the beginning it's daunting trying to learn this new music and trying to get it in for the recording. So every rehearsal really counts. This year we had a little more time, so it felt a little more comfortable going into the recording session. But then once we found out we made it, the next step was kind of new for all of us, including myself, just because we have a little more time this year to work on the music. We have a little more extra rehearsal time with our schedule this year. So trying to find other ways to take advantage of the rehearsal instead of just playing the music over and over again, which can kind of get boring, you know, for the students and for myself. Just trying to find fresh ways to look at the music each time. And you know, this year, I think had a lot to do with us all having a say about the music and a lot of recording ourselves and listening to ourselves as a group, which was kind of a first for us. We have a little more time to kind of sit back and really get a little more detail-oriented with what we were listening to as a group.
I'm curious from particularly the students, but the band overall, what you took away from any of the responses that you got and how you put that to work going forward.
The response to our group specifically was really exciting and really sweet. All the directors came up to me, and actually the top three directors, you know, said, you guys were our number one. You know, we thought you guys were shoo-in for the finals, and that was really nice. You know, I think they genuinely meant that. But hearing those top three bands, I see why they chose them. They're really, really strong. It's great for our group to hear that and to see the level that those guys played at. And like I said, we have a lot of juniors this year, so next year is a big year for us. We're really going to focus our efforts. And now that they have some experience under the belt of being there and doing so well, you know, of course they want to come back and do even and better. So we're already, you know, we had our first rehearsal yesterday after Ellington, and we're already working on next year's rep and kind of deciding what's going to be the best set for us and how to get in again. So it's just a continuum. Hopefully, you know, with these seniors next year, if we make it, they graduate, hopefully that next year it's just going to propel the younger guys coming into our program, because, you know, the whole community has been behind this, and all the students that are in the music program, of course, want to be in Chameleon, and they're getting excited about trying to go there themselves. So it really helps to build a program with something like this that's getting so much national attention as well.
Every trip to the festival that we make really elevates us to another level and really, really sets new goals for us. Like, we went my freshman year, which was in 2015, and after that experience, we all, you know, we didn't place in the top five, but we committed ourselves, you know, in the future, by the time we graduate, we want to finish in the top five. We want to place up there. So then we came back this year, and then we got fourth place, honorable mention. And so next year, our goal is really, you know, we're going for gold next year. So every trip to the festival really elevates us and sets us to new heights. So it's really exciting.
I think for the players, also, like, seeing other kids that are maybe even better or are able to play really well, it's really inspiring. It really inspires you to practice, and it really inspires you to maybe just learn the music and try to really appreciate what's going on and the music that really affected them, so you could really take that inspiration and use it to your advantage.
Tell us a little bit about the program at Newark Academy. Is this one of several performing ensembles at the Academy?
Yes, well, this is my 10th year at Newark Academy. I think when I started, it was the first time they had a full-time jazz position. And I conduct something called Upper School Jazz Band, and our advanced jazz class, which is Chameleon. And there's another group that's an auditioning group as well. It's like our second big band called the MA Big Band. I also direct the middle school orchestra, and there's a wonderful teacher, Amy Emilianoff, who does the orchestra and the wind ensemble and the sixth grade band. So that's pretty much our instrumental program. It's a very small school from sixth grade to 12th grade. It's only 550 kids, a little more than 550 kids. So we have very few students to draw upon because, you know, it's a highly academic school, and all the kids are involved in sports and arts. So, you know, all our musicians are also athletes, which is very common amongst other schools as well. But, you know, I think since we're such a small community, it's important that, I mean, for me to really get to the kids a little younger. So starting in sixth grade, if I see kids that are really talented, or, you know, Teddy, for instance, I knew Teddy coming into fifth grade, and I knew he was really into jazz. So, you know, he's been playing in our groups or, you know, at a high level since sixth grade. So there are a couple like that that kind of are leaders. And, you know, it's a lot of dedication, you know, as far as being in the top group here. They have to put a lot of hours outside of school. We don't have the luxury of practicing every day. You know, we only practice before this year. It was only like 2.5 hours a week. So now we have a little bit more than that. We have another 2 hours about a week. So we do a lot with the little time we have. But that just shows the dedication of the students to the program. And it's something that's, you know, been built up. It's a culture here that's, you know, been happening for the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. They're actually been state champs for the last 8 years running, so they're trying to keep that streak on going.
And then from for Alan and Teddy, what is it specifically about music and maybe jazz in particular that just really, really excites you and motivates you?
I would probably say the collaborative nature of jazz, in that when I'm playing with like the bass, the drums, piano, and the band, there's this dynamic and there's this collaboration and cooperation that's going on between all the parts of us. And then, you know, this is like creative music, so we all come together and we all work together to create something new every time, and something original and something exciting every time. So the way in which, I would say that the way in which we all play together and how it all comes together is what really excites me about jazz.
I would have to say the same thing. The interactions between people are really exciting. And then as the year goes on, those interactions and kind of your bond between people kind of strengthens. And what's exciting is, you know, every day you get better at playing with these people and you start to kind of understand how they play. And those interactions end up, they just get better and better every time.
That was Teddy McGraw, who plays drums with the Newark Academy Chameleon Big Band, which took honorable mention at this year's Essentially Ellington High School Jazz Band Competition and Festival. He was joined in my conversation by tenor saxophonist Alan Zhu and band director Julius Tolentino. Todd Stoll is Jazz at Lincoln Center's Vice President of Education. I spoke with him about this year's festival and how Essentially Ellington and Jazz at Lincoln Center's other year-round programs help play a role in strengthening jazz education.
Essentially Ellington is one of our longest-running programs in its 22nd year. The program itself is primarily to expose students and directors and then audiences to the music of Duke Ellington. It really wasn't available in terms of schools having access to it. There was not a lot of publishing around Duke Ellington's music until we started publishing it in 1996, which was the first year of the program. Basically, it's to raise the standard of literature that's available to public school, private school, charter school, high school level jazz bands around the country and now around the world. And within that program, we started a national competition and festival to celebrate the highest level of achievement within that program and around that world of Duke Ellington's music. Now, since, you know, we started 22 years ago, we've added other great composers and arrangers, from the great Mary Lou Williams to Dizzy Gillespie to Fletcher Henderson. Next year, it's going to be the music of the great band Chick Webb, which very little of that band music has been available. Gerald Wilson. So we add arrangers to Duke Ellington's music. Just again, it's all about the literature. We believe that the music itself teaches us great lessons, and that kind of the DNA of jazz is in this music. So we make it available. And this year we'll give away about 40,000 scores to schools all over the world.
So how would you characterize this year's competition and the level of playing that you saw?
Well, it's interesting because I'm a former finalist band director from a long time ago. So I've been there on both sides of it. I was there in 2002 and then again in 2004. It's interesting. We see more students who can really play, who can improvise, who can play within the idiom, who understand the vocabulary and the language. They can play over chord changes. They understand the sound of jazz, and especially Duke Ellington, because Duke Ellington has really specific requirements. He writes for clarinets. He writes for brasses and plunger that require a very personalized kind of sound. He uses lots of what we call vocal effects in the horns, different types of grooves in the rhythm section. And kids have just embraced this. You know, we had an all-female saxophone section from Byron Center, Michigan, that played this amazing clarinet trio on the Mooch, to a band of kids from Cuba who played a movement from Black, Brown, and Beige called Sugar Hill Penthouse. I've always had this belief, because I spent 25 years in education, young people will rise to the level of your expectation. And because the music itself causes directors to have higher expectations and higher levels of understanding, the kids rise to that. So the kids are really, really playing. This particular year, it's interesting. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the mood in our country, which we don't really need to talk about, but it seemed more reflective, more thoughtful. You know, directors on stage talked about kind of larger ideals about humanity, which was odd for me, having, you know, seen this. I mean, not just thanking their people, but talking about how music can bring us together. And I feel like at this time in our nation's history, that's probably needed more than ever. It seemed a little more cerebral and reflective than in past years.
What were some of the other interesting or elements or highlights from this year's competition?
The band that finished second this year was a band director in a school that sends in a recording for the competition year after year after year and is always turned down. And he made it this year and they came in second. That was really moving for us because it showed that he was invested in the program, not the competition. In America, man, we put so much emphasis on where you place and winning and being in this competition. And the truth is, the achievement and the highest level of understanding of this program is just playing the music and having kids get really excited about great jazz music. The competition is like a cherry on top of a giant sundae, and Jazz League Center is like the bowl that holds the sundae, you know? So it's really, for us, a guy that sent in a recording every year for 10 years and then finally got in, that's a great achievement. Having a band from Cuba, Cuba just started school jazz bands a couple years ago, and we were highly involved in that. You know, our brothers and sisters of the South, reaching out to them, the warmth with which all the kids embrace them. We had a new director from Osceola County, Florida, a Title I school, very, very underserved school in Kissimmee, Florida, an entire band of Hispanic kids that just played wonderfully and were on stage together. And then they embraced their Cuban brethren to the South because they all speak Spanish, and they had a wonderful kind of fellowship there. And I'll say this. You know, Newark Academy came out and just tore it up. I mean, they finished fourth. But again, it's the top four, the top three, where you finish is less important than that deeper understanding of the culture. And honestly, you know, we had a situation with Newark where their last tune, which was an elegant piece called Jack the Bear and featured a great clarinet solo, featured an amazing bass solo by Sean Pendiri, who's been Newark's bass player since he was a freshman, who just brought the house to its feet. That kind of energy and joy and love is something that really, you know, stands out to me. You know, the other thing about the program is we have a nationwide network of regional festivals. So we have here in the U.S., we have 16 festivals for next year where local schools can, and there's actually one at Newark Academy, they host a regional festival for us, where schools can go, and it's a less competitive environment. It's much more about sharing and getting together and playing great music and getting instruction and workshops. There's free workshops at all these festivals and feedback from clinicians. And we do those all over the country as well as four of those in Australia. So that network of regional festivals is the largest network of any type of jazz festival in the world. And we're looking to expand that even a little bit more. And we just encourage band directors who are unsure or don't really know about Ellington or maybe even a little afraid of it to check out the music. It's free. The festivals are free. We just want everyone to participate and learn about this music.
I understand it got off to quite an exciting start with the parade. Describe what that's like.
Anytime a Pulitzer Prize winning composer, a Grammy Award winning trumpet player straps on a bass drum, it's a good time. So went to play the bass drum because, you know, in New Orleans music, especially that type of music, the bass drum is one of the most important instruments. So anytime my boss is going to play bass drum, I'm down. So it was a great coming together of various, you know, we had the 16 bands there, but we also had community leaders, we had parents, we had people who just wanted to show up and play in a parade. It was a really nice celebration of, you know, the things that we believe in. And Winton always has always said that a nation's budget is reflective of our values. And if you're cutting the National Endowment for the Arts, I'm not convinced that's a reflection of what our nation values. And, you know, it was really, the parade was just kind of a public statement of support for, here's what we believe in, which is quality arts education for everybody.
Well, you mentioned the challenges that different school budgets, particularly music budgets, have in the school system and overall. Mm-hmm. How would you describe where jazz fits into this?
We think about this a lot, and we talk about this a lot, and we try to generate resources and programs that teachers can use. So it's two things. There are probably less than 10,000 jazz bands, school jazz bands in America, mainly because the jazz band is so specialized, and our universities, if I can shame them briefly, and I have some very good friends who are deans and provosts and university presidents, if I could shame them, there's very little instruction in jazz pedagogy or any American music pedagogy in any university anywhere in America. Off the top of my head, I know of probably 7 or 8 out of about 1,200 universities that have jazz bands where they actually train teachers to teach jazz, more than just kind of a cursory, you know, couple days at a methods class. So that's the first problem. Teachers aren't prepared to teach this, which is why we do a band director academy and we do lots of teacher training. The other point of that is a jazz band is small relative to a marching band or a concert band. Marching band can have hundreds of students. Concert band can have, you know, upwards of 60, 70, 80 students. Even a large symphonic band can have over 100. A jazz band, if it's done correctly, has between 15 and maybe 20. So you see the funnel, right? It's coming down smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until that's a very small portion of kids actually play. Now, since we don't include in our traditional band classes anything about, you know, the American parameters of music, which are playing by ear, improvising, and playing the blues, you know, we still teach from a Eurocentric concept. So most kids don't get jazz instruction. One of the things that we've done at Jazz Lincoln Center is we've tried to create resources for elementary general music teachers to teach units on jazz to all the students. Our largest outreach program, which is called Let Freedom Swing, which is part of our Jazz for Young People series, reaches about 75,000 kids a year that are just general students, not just band students. So you see the two things. We want students who are going to play jazz and are taught jazz. We want them, which in any given day in America, statistics say there's probably 250,000 to nearly 300,000 kids in America playing in jazz bands. We want those kids to have access to really great information and great literature. At the same time, we want to reach more general students who just can have an appreciation for jazz, because all those kids over here that play need somebody to play for. I think it's much more important to have an appreciation of jazz from just kind of a general listening appreciation. I think that's much more important than, you know, just teaching more kids to play. I want more kids to play. I want them to play at the highest level. But if the general population in America doesn't appreciate jazz, I mean, who are we going to play for?
That was Todd Stoll, Vice President of Education at Jazz at Lincoln Center. More information on Essentially Ellington and other Jazz at Lincoln Center programs can be found at jazz.org. I hope you enjoy the conversations I bring you each week on A Tempo and all of the other programs of the award-winning Classical Network. Remember, these programs are possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. You can listen to past programs of A Tempo by going to our arts and cultural news page at wwfm.org or searching for A Tempo on our program page. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.